but thanks for listening. Yeah.
Yo, what's up? Suns fan with for episode.
It's your boy Sunsman Gold.
For episode 173, sponsored by Manscaped. Tis the season for clean balls. Fa la 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 la. Our friends at Manscaped are helping you clear your driveway for safe travels this holiday season. From stocking stuffers to white elephants, Manscaped's products are at the top of every wish list. Grab some crop mops for your pops or the body buffer for the holiday lover. Win this year's white elephant gift and help all the men in your life go from eggnog to nice hog this December by going to manscaped.com and using We Say Things as a promo code for 20% off and free shipping. Another great holiday blurb here for Manscaped.
I love whoever's writing these, man. I love it. It's so good.
They really stepped it up this time.
From eggnog to nice hog.
But as always, Manscaped has tons of products on their site, and you can go to the website at manscaped.com, type We Say Things for 20% off and free shipping. We appreciate it. In Brew shout out, Cinderin. I guess we'll talk about why we've been delayed so long after the Inbrew shoutouts.
I'm waiting for you to go through the motions. It's fine.
Okay. I'll do them all since you're very ill. In Bruges tier, thank you to Q Ludes, Stupid Co-Pilot, Persian Tongue Twister, Shish Sikh Jigar Sikhi Shish Hazar. I actually feel like I pronounced those right, even though I have no idea what any of them mean. D2 Bowie, Yataro does it again, Cinder and A Scorpy. I also agree with Sunsan that CSGO is the best spectator sport, esport, maybe an ad because Valve won't for their games. Oscar Magdev Seeker used all his Spirit Vessel charges on Santa Pudge. My grandma still doesn't know what Dota is. Disco Farm D loves all segments, especially the NBA ones. I'm once again asking you to say my name. Simply Stooge, Silly Stooge, Salacious Stooge, Sadistic Stooge, Scathing Stooge, Sen, the Mega Pope. All right, EG is out. It's your time, Shannon. Commit to buying the best NA team called Arkosh. Take them to second TI in New Zealand. Zan Xavier, Nate Thickle, 01 Hamscroats, Bacon, Shark TM, Freshly Seasoned Goat Balls, Janie, Dop, Nothing to See Here, Underscore Man, Guitar Strings, Eve Remort, Ben. His Patreon names are too long and they're annoying to read out on the podcast. Broomhead, Wooden Aftertaste, Anonymous, and it is impossible for most people to lick their own elbow, Mr. Niebling.
Can you do that?
No. A very uninteresting stat, though, because some people can.
Yes.
I don't like this stat, Niebling. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's like saying most people can't, I don't know, look into the sun and not sneeze, but you like that one.
Oh, that's because it has percentages behind it. This one is just very vague. Like, yeah, some people can do it. See. Yeah.
Most people, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we need stats, Niebling. We need the percentage.
Yes.
Shannon's a very scientific person. He only cares about numbers.
That is true. All right, why have we been delayed 2 weeks, Cinderin?
All right, so long story short, Susie was at a cosplay event, and she got really sick. And I thought I wasn't getting whatever she had because she had been sick for like a full week and I had just not shown any symptoms whatsoever. But then suddenly I started showing the same stuff. And that was back on, I think, the 27th of November. So since then I've gone through a great amount of, I had a couple of days with fever and then I had throat ache, headaches, coughing, you know, the whole shebang for bad cold. And then as it was about to go better and almost be over, I had a resurgence yesterday where this morning actually, my throat started hurting more than it had so far from swallowing. So that's great. And my right ear is blocked, but
wow,
my voice is pretty okay. I'm not coughing that much right now. So we're shooting this episode out now, so don't delay it forever. So that's been my 2 weeks. I tried streaming, I think, 2 or 3 days and it went mediocre. I was coughing quite a bit and it's not that great for a podcast to have someone sitting there coughing half the time, so that's why I wanted to postpone it.
Yeah, but there's this one guy that really hates it when I cough like a few times every episode.
Yeah, actually, if you guys are wondering why we've delayed it, it's for that guy in particular. So if you're unhappy that we've delayed it for 2 weeks, then you can comment at him.
So can you illuminate us? First of all, I'm very sorry you've been sick. Sorry indeed. What the fuck have you been doing? I imagine like what you are doing while being sick, and it's a combination of being bedridden / raiding, and that is it. Like not even going to the toilet half the time. Like, all right, give me the rundown.
So here's the thing, like for the most part, aside from like the 2 days that I had a fever and I was lying down quite a bit, for the most part, I've just had low energy. Like I've got up, I've done my chores, I've walked the dog, the bit that I have had to do. And then aside from that, I've honestly been sitting a lot at the PC. I've played a bit of Dota. Like I said, I streamed a couple of days. I played some WoW, I played some poker. I kind of went through the motions, but when you're sick like this, you're just very fatigued all the time. So you feel like the thought of starting up the stream and running something where you're on camera and you're talking and you're playing and you're putting on at least a bit of a show. I'm not saying like I'm a true showman or whatever, or super entertaining. Of course I am really funny, but I was just really low energy. I don't know. I'm sure everyone can relate to that. Like when you've had the flu or a bad cold or whatever, you're just like going through the day and you don't have very much energy. I think if my job was in more of like an office setting, I wouldn't have been not working for a week and a half. I think the first 5 or 6 days, I probably would have stayed fully home. And then after that, I could have probably got done and gone my stuff because, you know, you just do it on your own. You're kind of minding your own business, doing things at your pace or whatever. But for me, streaming is a different thing. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Yep, it does.
Effectively, yeah. So I could have just put on a stream and muted myself and just pressed buttons and played a Dota game, and I just think that's not good content. So then I would rather not stream. And then when I did give it a shot the other day, I was coughing through half of it, but at least, you know, I had the energy for it, which is makes it feel way more rewarding. So that's basically it. I've just been low energy and doing the usual, just to a lesser extent, to be honest. So
very good to hear, Sindarin. Okay. So I have a Suns fan recommends before we get started. This one is very outdated. I'm going to seem like an absolute boomer. It's 5 years old. It's a video game. Can you guess what it is?
5 year old video game.
Yeah. I mean, if you've been seeing me, if you've been looking at your friends list, you may have seen me playing it.
I actually think I haven't noticed, so okay. I would be completely in the dark.
So because of the Steam Deck, I feel like the Steam Deck, man, it has really opened me up to playing new games. Obviously, since I've been burnt out on Dota for quite a while now. Slay the Spire. A game that has been recommended
nice
to me
game.
For years and years and years. And I won't lie, like, I'd never played a... Oh my god, I'm gonna sound like a moron. What kind of a game is it? I know it's a roguelike, but what's... When you're building your deck new every time, there's a name for that, I think.
Specifically with cards,
like a deck builder. That's what I was okay. So
that was actually what I was thinking.
I've never played a deck builder before like that. Obviously, the aspects, like Hades or whatever, where you're having to redo everything, the roguelike stuff is really good.
Yeah.
It's extremely well made, I have to admit. And the thing that turned me off just visually was this thing that, you know, how everybody has their biases, you know. Since I was a kid, like RPGs, the way that I thought what an RPG was, which I know this hasn't been the case for a while, really, but there's some RPGs that are like this where you just have two characters and one attacks, then you wait. Like, it's turn-based. I despise them forever. I never got into
like
any
every
of them.
Turn-based game.
Every turn-based attacking, when it's like a... I don't know what the specific... like a lot of Pokemon games, I remember seeing them as a kid. Not
big fans.
Didn't
like Heroes of Might and Magic either.
No, although I don't think I ever played that one. Anyway, it has that aspect, which that's the reason I hadn't been playing it for so long. But it is extreme. Slay the Spire is really good. Very, very good game. Would recommend it for people that have not played it, like me, which is probably very few of you.
Shannon, I'm starting to notice something. You get recommendations about movies or about games from other people, and then eventually you come around to them. But everything I recommend to you, don't touch.
What did you recommend?
I'm just saying. I can't remember aside from Zelda.
Zelda. God.
Any Legend of Zelda game. Okay, let me recommend something else so you try something else.
Yeah. So how about something that's not Nintendo?
Darkest Dungeon, now that you like a turn-based game.
Darkest, let me look this up. Darkest Dungeon.
A banger game.
Okay, let me look at images of this because I like to judge a book by its cover. What kind of game is this?
Oh, have you played Hollow Knight?
No.
All right, number one. That is my biggest recommendation for you, then.
Hollow Knight.
Yes. I think we've talked about this a couple of times.
Oh, is this
a
platformer? Okay, I'm not. Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to say I won't like it. I'm pretty over platformers. Since Super Mario 3, I've been over platformers.
Okay. This is not like Super Mario.
I don't know what it is. I can't. Platformers are so boring. It's just this linear bullshit. I don't know. Am I the only one that's like that? I love Super
Mario
3.
Another suggestion in chat. Celeste, also a banger. Dude, this actually, I think the majority of really good games from the last 3 years are all indie games. Celeste is incredible. I mean, I don't know if you would call Hades an indie game.
It is.
I think that's, would you say that's indie still?
Yeah, they have 20 employees.
Yeah, so Celeste, Hades,
Valve is
Hollow
also
Knight.
An indie company, by the way.
Celeste, Hades, and Hollow Knight are probably the three best video games from the last few years.
Okay.
Just incredibly good.
Very good.
All three of them.
Okay, let's get on to the news of the last couple weeks.
I'm so happy you agreed to play those games, by the way.
I have not, but thank you for those recommendations. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some DPC announcements. PGL has announced that they will be doing EU and NA, and ESL has not been given any region. And I know a lot of people were wondering if this is the news that I was talking about. So I actually learned about this news maybe a week after I originally said that something bad was going to happen. So this was not it. But then when I heard this, I'm like, everyone's going to think that this was it. Because the, you know, not a whole lot of fanfare behind PGL these days, it feels like.
Actually, it's smart, you know. You give this like dooming speech, and then whenever something really bad comes out, you can claim it was that one.
Well, you know me. I would
you
have just
got to wait.
If that was the case, I feel like this would have been it. People are pretty upset about this, generally. But ESL, I know Shane made a tweet saying that he has a lot of stuff that they're working on for this next year. So excited to hear what they have planned. Were you surprised when you heard about this?
Yeah, I think so. I think the fact that the same studio gets two regions for the entire... It's all three seasons, right? I believe that is confirmed.
Is it three seasons? Oh, yeah, three seasons, yeah.
It's three, right? I believe they announced all three. We're going to PGL, and I think was it today or the yesterday that they announced all the SEA going to why am I forgetting what they're called? Shit,
I didn't see any.
I'm sure someone in chat can help me out with this. It's eluding me right now. But
did they
all
actually...
the SA DPC are going to the same studio as well.
Okay,
all three of them. Anyway, it's eluding me, but it's besides the point. All three seasons are going to the same, which I think is the first time, right? Because previous years, the DPCs have been kind of like distributed.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong. Last year, I think ESL had both NA and EU, but it was only two seasons, right?
No.
And this time it's three.
No.
No?
It was all three seasons.
Wait, it was three seasons. ESL had NA and EU as well.
Everyone that was given a region had all three seasons.
Okay, so I'm just completely wrong, and you can disregard everything I just said.
Yes.
Except the fact that it's PGL that has all three and not ESL. And last year, PGL had no DPC, but then they had TI and one
When you
one
say all
major?
Three, you're talking about three seasons, not three regions, right?
Three seasons, yes.
Although I don't know if all the regions have been announced, so maybe they could have more regions for all we know.
Right.
Yeah, I think I'm it's pretty surprising to me because PGL, I mean, if Reddit is any indication, people are not big fans. But more so it's less about that and more about ESL not getting anything. That's really weird. Right. I think if I had to, I'm trying to think of the rating of the, so WePlay I think makes the best events. ESL is probably next. ESL also has, like they've done a lot for the scene in general. So, and when I say ESL, it's both DreamHack and ESL for people that don't know. It's one company.
Yeah.
So that is weird. I'm not sure what the reasoning would be, but maybe we'll find out in due time. Not sure what else we can say about this, honestly.
I mean, it's the standard or the default way of thinking about this is that there's a high chance that it has something to do with production costs, right? Like PGL operates out of Romania. They probably have lower costs than ESL does. So if there's parity or at least presumed parity between the productions from Valve's perspective, they might go for the cheaper option, or maybe they have some sort of a logic with, you know, some sort of fairness principle or whatever that, okay, ESL, you had EU and NA last year. Now it's time for someone else to have it. Or maybe it's none of those. And they just, you know, maybe ESL, maybe that's some bad blood. Maybe something happened behind the scenes between ESL and Valve that wasn't good and Valve don't want to work with them. Like, you can speculate all you want. But at the end of the day, a lot of the time, I think, you know, money talks a lot in this kind of stuff. And I think PGL is probably a cheap partner for Valve to have. It was the same for this TI, I imagine, like we talked about. I think PGL was, I think, largely chosen because it was probably a really good pitch for Valve to work with them. So, and that's business, you know? I agree with you. I think it's a shame that ESL has nothing. I would have liked to have them have at least one region, if not two, or at least one or two seasons of something. So I'm with you that that is surprising. And it's also kind of surprising that PGL goes from, I believe, running no... Did they run any DPC last season?
No.
I don't think so.
I wanted to talk about that.
They had TI and one major, I believe, or something like that. And now they just run the full DPC for EU.
The reason they didn't do DPC... This could be wrong information. I'm pretty sure this is right, though. The reason they didn't do DPC last year is because they didn't think it would be profitable. And so they took one major, but I think it turns out the DPC is more profitable than a major. If you have EU, and if you have EU, you are now basically kind of required to have NA because nobody wants NA. I know last season, literally zero real offers came for NA.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was a package deal.
It's like, if you want EU, you have to have NA. Like, fine. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants. That was shocking to me that's like, this is before South America did really well at TI and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That NA is considered less appealing than any other region. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you look at how it works in other esports, right? Where NA is considered one of the best regions to have because advertisements are worth a lot, because the, you know, the average spending index over there is really powerful. So if you have good viewership on your event, then NA ads and NA sponsorships pay really well. And in other games where they have the big orgs involved, there's big money. But yeah, Dota just, unfortunately, in the state of things right now, or at least last season, I don't think the season's going to be much better by the looks of it. There just aren't enough big orgs and big competitions in NA for it to really be profitable. The EU viewership is just way higher. So even if, let's say, the CPM, which is how much you get paid per 1,000 viewers who watch an ad or a sponsorship or whatever, even if that's lower, you just trounce the numbers of NA regardless, so it might still be more profitable to run EU. You have so big profiles there. So it's a shame. I wish NA was doing better in Dota. I think that would be super good for the game. But unfortunately, we're not really seeing many initiatives that try to improve it from Valve's side or from orgs investing. And I do think from this, it has to come from Valve. You need to give incentive to the big NA orgs to want to play Dota, right? I guess we'll get to that. We have one team announcement at least further down. But aside from that, no big news for NA, really.
Yep, fairly accurate. Okay, 7.32D. We won't spend much time on this. You said we would just mention the death of Wraith Pact and move on.
Pretty much. I mean, we can do a little bit more than that if you want, but it's a pretty small patch for the most part.
I do want to talk about Wraith Pact a bit. So It doesn't reduce magical damage anymore. It's just physical.
Or pure.
So
yeah,
you think this item is just 100% dead right now?
No, I think it's a strategic counter item to specific lineups. Like if you're playing against a lineup that's very physical heavy, where it's a type of physical damage then Crimson Guard isn't good against. Wraith Pact can be a good alternative. And I mean, it still has Vlad's in it, right? Vlad's is a great item. So I just think it's more of it's a tactical item now instead of a lol, this item's just broken. And I'm fine with that. I personally thought it should have been removed. I think this is the second best option that I've heard though. So overall I'm pretty happy. I haven't seen it bought a single time, I think, since the change though. So effectively it may kind of be removed.
Was the first best option deleting the item entirely?
Yeah. So that was my favorite was deleting it, and then it's been like other suggestions that I think could have been okay. But I actually think this is better than those other ideas. So now the problem now is that like Crimson Guard and Wraith Pact kind of serve the same purpose to an extent, right? Like it's physical damage mitigation from the enemy team. But Crimson Guard doesn't block spells, and this does. So physical damage spells that have that component, like Quill Spray or whatever, actually get reduced by Wraith Pact. So there's like some heroes that you can buy this against with a benefit, and of course it's also Vlad's.
It's a niche item then.
Exactly. It's like it's a rare occasion one where maybe you need to buff it now a little bit to make it more appealing and find more use cases for it, but it's okay. At least it's not the old one, which for the most part, people just really didn't like, right? That was what I gathered. I don't think any pros really enjoyed the item that I talked to. Also, people, like when you interacted with stream chat or whatever, most people just thought it was kind of dumb. So it's good that it's changed. Yeah, I don't know. There's a couple of other things in this patch. There's a small one that we might want to mention. Flagbearer creeps give 10 more bonus gold to allies in range. So that means largely supports will benefit a bit more from this in the laning stage. And then we have some small hero changes, but we don't have to go over it. Like, you know, some of the outliers that were too strong got nerfed a bit and others got buffed a bit.
Well, we can talk briefly.
I can also talk about Bloodstone if you want.
Were you surprised? Yeah, Bloodstone. And then were you surprised that this wasn't a bigger patch? Are you expecting a bigger patch? Like at what time frame when Muerta comes out?
I was surprised because usually I think the last patch we've had, again, the map itself has been the same for like, I want to say 3 years now with minor changes, like a little bit of a slope here, a tree here or there, but no like big map changes, no bounty rune adjustments, nothing like that. So it's been the same like archetype of map for a long time. So I thought after this TI was when we were going to shake things up, you know, good old style where the map changes, maybe economy changes more, all that stuff, but didn't really happen. I thought this was going to be this patch. And now that we're close to the DPC starting, I don't know if we're getting it, to be honest. A lot of people are celebrating this as one of the best patches ever, which I would kind of agree with, but I still think that doesn't mean that we shouldn't change it more just for the fact that it's good. Because I think Dota is a game where like perfect balance doesn't exist in this game and we can keep striving for it. But I also think there's something to be said about innovation and making creative stuff that, and shaking things up a bit that just appeals to the player base. They want something new. They want to learn. Dota is a learning game. And at some point the learning feels like it stagnates a little bit. Like you can still come up with new strategies. We've seen this new item build, right? With Razor going Bloodstone that people say is super broken. And it definitely is very powerful in certain games, but it's more like, we get these like edge cases now of innovation because like bigger creativity is kind of hard to find now because the game is so fleshed out. So, and also just when it comes to pro Dota, you know, the games, the patterns, the way things move,
we've said this for years. We've been talking about this for years, so I won't harp on it too long, but it feels like there's a template on how to play Dota generally, and you just follow it every game because it's kind of been like the general movements have been kind of figured out for the most part. Right. Yeah.
That's the really good thing when we get a new fuck up everything patch is that it becomes a sandbox again.
Exactly. I mean, that's my favorite time is when there's a giant patch and nobody knows what's going on. That's the coolest part. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Bloodstone wasn't changed a whole lot.
It was nerfed a little bit, but it's still really powerful on certain heroes.
Yeah. Leshrac and Razor, you mean? That's it.
Predominantly, there's some experimental builds. I've seen a couple of people fly it up, but I don't like, what's it called, on Bristleback. I think it can run it on Viper. But yeah, the two big outliers are Lesh and Razor for sure.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, let's do, before we get into our roster shuffles, the SAP segment.
Oh.
All right.
What's the score?
Don't ask me that question.
I think it's 3-3. I think I said that last week as well.
Didn't I get last week correct?
Did you? Shit. Let's say you're ahead by one and I don't know what the score is.
That sounds good. All right. So my question for you, young man.
We're still doing TI, right?
Yeah. Since TI7, which hero has recorded the most seconds of disable other than Earthshaker, who is by far number one?
Uh-huh.
Is it Ember Spirit, Nyx Assassin, Elder Titan, or Dark Willow?
Ember.
Incorrect.
Fuck. Does it count as a disable? It isn't a trick question, right?
It's not a trick question. That does count as a disable.
Okay, so if the root counts, I would have picked that. Ember's been played quite a lot.
So I'm going to go 5-1 here, okay?
Okay.
So fifth is Dark Willow with 9,800 seconds of disable.
I'm pretty sure she would be lowest, yeah.
Elder Titan, 10,400. Ember, 10,800. Nyx is the correct answer, 11,600.
Oh, it was pretty close.
And Earthshaker is 18,500, so not even remotely close is number one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in the right games, Nyx does stun a shitload, right? If he hits multiple people with one Carapace and stuff like that.
There was was that TI10 where people were buying Ags every game on him? That probably contributes
right.
to this.
Right, yeah. I mean, I was just thinking in my mind, I feel like Ember has been picked more. Like, he's been a stable at TI for a long time, and he, you know, has played mid, so he gets levels, and then he's slight chains a lot throughout the game. But I guess Nyx still... I guess per game... Nyx must also be way higher, right?
I mean, Spike Carapace has to add up pretty fast, I guess.
It definitely does in the right conditions, yeah. I'm not too surprised. All right, well, that was great. Here's my question for you, which is also since and including TI7, which hero has stacked most camps?
Which hero?
Is it A, okay. Which hero has stacked most camps since and including TI7? Is it A, Alchemist, B, Shadow Demon, C, Elder Titan, or D, Batrider?
Wow. Those are all really good choices. Because you got the Astral Spirit. Is that aggro creeps still? In the jungle?
Yeah, I think so, right? I think it still does.
All right, I'm going to say it's not Elder Titan. Watch that
be the correct It's done that logic.
That's not the correct answer. You said Alchemist, Shadow Demon, and...
ET and Bat, yeah.
And Bat.
Yep.
Alchemist probably stacks a lot of camps. Shadow Demon has his little trick with Shadow Poison. I'm going to go Bat Rider because he just lives in the jungle and his stacks are insane.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
The correct answer is Shadow Demon.
Okay.
Which I was kind of surprised to see because, yeah, he's amazingly good at stacking, but I guess... There must have been one of the TIs that this hero was a pretty big pick. We haven't seen him much at TI 10 and 11. So he must have done a hell of a lot of work in some of the earlier TIs.
The fact that he can stack like three camps at once is pretty insane.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have players like Insania who kind of made it a thing in a big way, one or two tournaments, but I don't think it was TI. But yeah, Batrider is third, ET is second, Shadow Demon is first, and Alchemist is actually fifth. I was kind of surprised to see Alk on fifth. Fourth was Io, which makes sense because he plays a lot with the jungling carries, right? But yeah, SD was number one. So good job, Shannon. We get it wrong once again.
Thank you. As always, last week's question was which role had the most different heroes and how many were in it? You guessed 30. I guessed 35. The correct answer was 51.
Whoa.
As a carry. So I was
51
right.
51 carries?
I was right about carry. You said offlane. So you got it wrong doubly, of course.
Holy shit.
And there were some outliers, of course. Like, obviously, Doom was played a decent amount. Like, we talked about how flexible the carry role was. Mm-hmm. Beastmaster in some cases. Dawnbreaker, obviously, that's kind of a split. LC was played as a position one, Lina as a position one, which is usually like a mid hero. So
yeah, okay.
Yeah, pretty crazy carry year for sure, which is cool to see. The closest person was Carl Brachman, who typed carry and 42. So only 9
42
off.
Is always a good answer.
Very good.
And well, we should also mention the role with the least different heroes was actually mid. Which I think, was that also what we concluded? Maybe it was, actually.
I don't remember.
But mid had 33 different heroes, which is still more than I chose for most different heroes, which was 30. So I was very wrong. And you were also very wrong. To be fair, we were both very wrong. But you got the right role. So
that's
I guess
right.
You win that one.
Thank you. Next question for next week. From Juan Alejandro Chong. What team hero combination has the most picks in TI? Example, e.g. Storm Spirit, Secret Enchantress, etc. So if you want to guess in the comments, type in hashtag SAP Esports, the team, the hero. I'm not going to lie. The only thing I can think of is EG Storm, but that was the example here, which
I don't think
it's the right answer because it's TI, right?
Yeah.
Enchantress, though, with Secret, does sound pretty
decent.
I'm just
trying to think of who has played a lot of games at TI. Like, LGD is number one most played games. That's not a secret. We've had that as a question another time or talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, LGD has played clearly the most games at TI, but they've also had a really big variety. So, and the fact that it's team hero and not player hero makes a pretty big difference, because then it means you can have rosters change as long as the team identity is picking something. Oh man, this is really hard. I want to say LGD with something, but I don't know what hero to pick.
Who picks the most Earthshaker?
LGD has played quite a lot of Shaker. That's not a bad guess.
I'll go with that.
Actually. Yeah. Shit. that's a good guess. It's all TIs, right? Yeah, all TIs. Ah, man. Wait, what's the most picked hero ever at TI? I'm going to say LGD Rubick.
LGD Rubick. Okay, so it's LGD either way, which is kind of a safe answer,
I guess.
Let's
say that.
So again, hashtag SAP Esports, the name of the team, and then the hero. And if nobody guesses it right, then whoever is the highest ranked guess will be given the shout out. So if your ideas are transformative, use them to transform SAP's customers' businesses. Check out SAP's various open positions in sales, development, and technology and consulting at jobs.sap.com or by clicking the link in the description. Thank you to SAP for this segment, as always. Roster shuffles. Okay.
Oh, this is spicy this week.
Is this over? Let me double check. Okay, was it yesterday that they locked?
The deadline is over. You can't change rosters anymore.
Hopefully I have most of the big ones in here. Team Secret, Nisha is out, which surprised me. They got second at TI.
Yeah, me too.
Boom has replaced him from Game and Gladiators.
Worth noting is that Nisha left.
Yes.
Secret did not kick anyone. They didn't want to make any changes. The official reason given was that Nisha was looking for something new. He can have his own motivations for that. We can speculate. I saw the video where he was announced, which is the most Nisha has ever been on camera collectively, is in the one announcement video from Liquid, which was like him talking for 2 or 3 minutes, which was incredible because he never does media.
Yeah.
And he's honestly, he's pretty well spoken. Yeah, he's not a native in English, but his English has definitely improved to the point where I don't think he should, at least it shouldn't be the English that stops him from doing interviews. He shouldn't be shy about it. But he can have his reasons, whatever it is. But in that, he said something like, I'm going to paraphrase it a bit here. So he was looking for something new. He thinks Liquid is maybe the best org in all of esports, and he's going to be really comfortable playing there. And he also said that he thinks that with this team, he thought he didn't have as much of a voice in Secret and has had as much influence as he thinks he can have in this team. So you could put whatever stalk into that, whatever you will, about how Secret operates and about how Nisha was a part of that puzzle. I think many people regarded him as the star player of that team for the last 2 years. I think he's been exceptionally good and very consistent out of the whole roster. But, you know, he might just have been a really good soldier, you know, who didn't really get to have much of a say in strategy or in more of the macro stuff, which maybe he feels like he can develop more as a player, reach his ceiling more in Liquid, and become more of an integral part of developing the strategy, which is super rewarding. I think he's just looking to grow, and that's very admirable. So, yeah, Secret, like you said, replaces him with Boom. Used to play for Gaming Gladiators. Made quite a name for himself in the last year, I would say, especially on tempo-based mid-heroes. So I think that's the recipe Secret are going for, is playing kind of higher tempo. Crystalis plays some tempo carries, some slower ones, and Boom's standout heroes are like Queen of Pain, Tiny, and Ember. Those are the three heroes I think about that guy. So playmaking mids that cast spells. And in this meta, pretty good fit for the team, I think. So I think Secret's still going to be a very good team. But it's hard to say it's not a downgrade, right?
People regard Nisha as being the best, not just on Secret, but in the world, the best player, period.
Yeah, which a lot of people think he is.
Hard to argue against that sometimes because he goes absolutely berserk in certain games. Surprised he left, because obviously Secret's going to win TI this next year. I don't know why you'd want to give up that much money, but...
Maybe he specifically just wants to fuck Puppy over. This is like ultimate goal. The whole prophecy is coming together and he is going to be the one to break it. Some real anime villain shit right here.
Something we should mention, since he is going to Liquid, Mikke will move to one, right? Do you think...
Yep.
I feel like there's been a ton of people swapping between two and one. It doesn't really seem to be that much of a transition, depending on the person, I guess. But
correct me if I'm wrong, Mikke has played carry before for Liquid, right?
Yeah, they switched
when
it
they
up,
had
but...
Koikva, he played carry, and then they got Matu and he went back to mid, and now he's back to carry again. I think Mikke was good at both roles. For me personally, I think his mid is better, but it's hard to argue that getting in Nisha with the player pool that is available when you do lose Matu is not the absolute S number one tier option Liquid possibly had. So I think in this roster shuffle, this is probably the biggest winner for me out of everyone. And I'm very curious to see how he's going to fit in with that team for the coming season. So they're maybe my favorite to be the strongest team in Europe now, actually.
Yep, I agree.
So,
Gaming Gladiators, obviously we talked about Boom leaving, and the person replacing him is Quinn.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
So NA talent going to EU, similar to Snake King, just less talent in NA continues to be a thing, but we wish Quinn well, and he's going to get to play in some crazy, I mean, it's going to be totally different, right? NA DPC for him is like, all right, we have to win our last match. That's the only one that's going to be difficult. EU, it's literally every game is going to be really hard.
I think so. There's a couple of big positives here. Aside from the negative, obviously, that NA loses another one of their best talents, right, in the pool for that region. For Quinn personally, I think this is the way for him to grow as a player. I think unless you are on the NA team that gets all the international experience and gets really good placements, I think it's stifling your growth to play in that region, which is a shame to say, but someone like Quinn, who is extremely mechanically gifted and who I think his biggest downfall is lack of stage experience and lack of playing at the highest level against a lot of competitive opponents constantly to really polish his playstyle, I think this region will just be way better for him to improve. So I think that's really good, and I think it's the career move, right? Like, I think if he stays in NA and he doesn't get on... I mean, he would probably get on the team that is not the new EG, right? Like, so realistically speaking, he would be playing on the second best NA team,
I don't think he'd care if I said this, but I talked to him after TI. I'm like, what are your plans? He's like, I'm either going to join an EU team, or if that doesn't work, Arkosh. So
I see.
He was kind of ready to... I mean, not... He's kind of ready to give up the dream of being, you know, truly competitive, unless it was EU. He's pretty much done with NA.
Yeah. I think that's a big shame because I feel like, you know, there are some talented players in Dota that haven't had like a really big break, like a top three major placement or gone a deep run at TI or whatever. I think Quinn is one of the players that has the most promise. I'm also going to say he's one of the guys with the biggest Achilles heel because he has been prone to choking at big stages. But I think it's fair for him to get these opportunities to really improve. And we've seen for other players that did used to have a problem with international competition get a lot better when they got more experience. So I'm kind of saying like Quinn is a new player, which isn't really the case, right? He's played for a couple of years, but I just think NA is just a... What's the opposite of the hyperbolic time chamber? It's like...
Sauna?
Yeah, NA is a sauna. That's good. I like that. So I believe, and I want him to do well.
Gaming Gladiators announcements of each player were hilarious. They were all based on Salad.
Oh, yeah.
They made puns on everybody's name. That was really
good. Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Quinoa?
That's how it's said, isn't it? Quinoa?
Wait, is that how you say it? It's called quinoa in Danish, I'm pretty sure.
You're kidding. That. Quinoa. That sounds like an American trying to pronounce this word.
Quinoa. So the pronunciation is quinoa or quinoa, it says here.
Quinoa. Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
I guess both are legit. I've never heard quinoa in Danish, at least, but it says right here in English, quinoa.
That's so funny that in the U.S., the biggest rednecks, not that they're eating quinoa, we'll say quinoa, though. So.
Huh. Oh.
Anyway. Moving on, yep. PSG, LGD, lots of changes. Faith Beyond obviously retired. Jin Q, to my understanding, was kicked. Ame went inactive. And their full roster now is WHU Smile. Is that the same? That's not the same Smile.
It's Innocence. It's Y.
Oh, that is Y.
Yeah, so it's Y and Nothing to Say, and then three new players.
Shiro, Planet, and then... Chinese characters. I can't.
Yeah, I don't remember how to pronounce that nickname. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that this is not a downgrade, right? Because LGD has just been insane for like two, three years. They've been the best team in the world, in my opinion. Unfortunately for them, they never won TI, but they are, in terms of like lowest lows and highest highs and just average performance, they are the best team of the last 2 or 3 years for me. And the only thing they were missing was a TI win, and they just never got it. And that's sad for a lot of their players. Now, there are some rumors about Ame and Somnus, who also retired, which we've talked about before. Somnus said in an interview on his stream, I think it was, that he would be willing to return and play under the right conditions, even for free, I think was his wording or whatever. And I think he would like to play with Ame. So maybe that one is brewing for season two. Who knows? Those two together, they played together on which LGD was that? Was it TI8?
Sure.
Those two, I think. But yeah, that was also an absolute banger team. So I think LGD are going to lose the throne as the best team in the world this year with this roster. That's my gloomy outlook because I think it's hard to compete with what they had before. But I do think both NTS and Y are absolute S-tier players in their positions, and I'm ready to be impressed by the new guys. But yeah, it's a tough level to uphold for sure.
Yep. And then from, I'm going to try calling them NGX from now on, Enigma Galaxy, but NGX have finalized their roster. Kuro is returning. I think there was questions about whether that was going to be the case. GH, Mind Control, and Sumail return. And ATF is the one joining, which means Miracle is taking a break. So ATF playing the position one, which it felt like he kind of did that from the three role before.
That is his real role, I think. This guy's a carry player. So he just found a patch in OG that you could carry in the offlane, and they exploited the fuck out of that. But this guy's a carry player, in my opinion. So I think he's going to fit right into the role. As far as the team goes, I don't know. I don't know how the team dynamic is going to be. I don't know how he's going to work together with Kuro, because I think Kuro's leadership style is going to be very different from what he's used to in OG. That is purely speculation. I have not coached or been in either team, but just the vibe I'm getting. And we'll see how Amar fits with that. And also, keep in mind, I believe he was kicked from OG, right? I don't think he left. So perhaps there were, it wasn't the perfect fit there either.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I definitely think this is the role this guy should be playing, and I think he's a very skilled player. I'm a bit concerned about some of the things about how open-minded he is to playing other heroes and other strategies, because I think Kuro, historically speaking, obviously for himself, he's the player who has played the most different heroes in Pro Dota ever. But he has a lot of strategies that require a very high level of execution and abstraction, where it's like timing-based pushing strategies or lineups with very few stuns and stuff like that that are more creative, and where I would say the execution cap is very high. And when Nygma play their absolute best, they can make drafts that look confusing, look like the best picks ever, and they can make them look really bad. And I'm a bit unsure if Amar, with his youngster perspective and the way he's been playing for OG, how he's going to adapt to that, or if it is Kuro that has to take some more inspiration from the new guy. But I'm hopeful. And I guess it can't get much worse for Nygma, right? Let's be honest. Like, these guys are superstars, and they just had a really shit year. So they're probably going to do better.
TSM make a lot of changes. Moon Meander is now the coach. That one really shocked me, actually. Tomato and Brow continue on. But from the position 3 role, since they will lose Saberlight, which we'll get to in a bit. Kasane?
I'm not sure how to say it. I guess it's Kasane. I don't know. It sounds like an anime character.
Yeah, Kasane. That sounds... yeah, you're right. And then for the 4 and 5,
it's Ari.
It's
a town in Botswana. I just Googled it. That's probably not where he has it from.
Probably not, no.
Okay, it's also a movie. An ugly but talented actress gains the power to copy the bodies of beautiful actresses temporarily, but how long can she maintain the facade? Movie from 2018.
Wow, that sounds like the worst movie I've ever heard of.
That
actually
is probably also not where he has it from, but maybe.
Sun Sen recommends Kasane, the movie.
I think I had pretty good ratings, actually.
The 4 and the 5
six
are...
6 out of 10. All right.
Are Ari and Whitemon.
Yep.
So... a lot of different flags here.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Whitemon from SCA. Ari is United Kingdom.
The best player UK has maybe ever had in Dota 2.
That's cool.
Which isn't saying a lot, to be fair. But this guy...
still cool.
He has a lot of promise. I think what's really impressive about Ari is that I think... so his story... correct me if I'm wrong here. I think he was number 1 on the ladder in Heroes of the Storm. And then the game lost Blizzard support, so he moved on to Dota, and he climbed the ranks giga fast. I think this guy's like, is he 19?
Let's see.
Yeah, he's 19.
Yeah.
You're right. Former Heroes of the Storm player reached rank 1 on the ladder in 2018. However, after the game's professional league was discontinued, Ari switched to Dota 2 in 2019 and committed to the game full-time in May 2021. To give some perspective, this guy has played the game for 3 years, and he's top 35 in Europe as a support player, primarily.
That's pretty impressive.
I think that's the highest rank I've seen him at. He might have been way higher than that, too. He might have been top 10 or something as well. Hmm. But yeah, definitely a stable top 50 EU pub player who's played the game for a few years. Kind of, you know, reminds you of a lot of these other young superstars, like the ones OG took in, like Yuragi and Amar, etc. And the fact that he's from the UK, I think, is really fucking good for the game. It's a pretty big country with garbage representation, except what do we have? Like fucking T Governor? Like Odie Pixel? So, sheep-sticked? You know? Nah, it's good. This guy is legit. And I think the biggest question mark people have is actually Kasane, because most people haven't heard of that guy at all. But I believe it was 33 that says Kasane is the best Beastmaster player in the world, and 33 learned from that guy. So, that is... pretty promising.
Yeah, should be interesting to see what they're able to do. Alliance, brand new roster, kind of. Charlie Chuan. I never know how to say that guy's name.
I think it's Chien.
Chien.
If I'm mistaken.
Yeah. S4, Ponlo, and Hanskin. So they've kind of reversed.
Yep.
This team, it's not exactly the same team as last year, but they did better than the other Alliance.
Yep.
So
this was, what were they called last season?
I thought Hanskin was on bad terms with them, so it's good to know that they're on good terms again. Or he just wants that sweet 10k per day.
Wait, what was this team called last season? Why am I forgetting? S4 and Hanskin's team with Charlie.
Sure, Goon Squad.
Goon Chat, Squad, that's right.
Chat is so letting us know.
It's 3 out of 5 Goon Squad players, and then they've taken 2 SEA players, which I think is a cool move. We'll see how that works out. Ponlo. Surprising to me that they've announced it with Ponlo as 4 and Hanskin as 5. I think inverting their roles would be better, but this might have something to do with their idea of how they're going to shot call in the game, and they want Hanskin to do that more from the 5 position or whatever. But I actually think these two players are better at the inverse roles. So we'll see how that works out, or maybe they're just going to change it along the way. Chien is a super high-skilled mid player from SEA. So, yeah, isn't it kind of ironic when you look at it? Like, EU has obviously insane placements at TI, but what a fucking hard region. And we're just importing players. Mm-hmm. The people want to come to this region. That's going to be the hardest ever to try to qualify for anything. But obviously it's the one where they can prove themselves the most and they can grow the most as players. So I think it's very admirable, but it's also a high risk, right?
Yeah.
I guess for someone like Quinn and someone like Ponlo and Chien, at least there's the salary, right? That is a stable that might be either better than what they're used to, at least comparable. But yeah, best of luck to them. I don't know if Europe is getting another slot for the next major, but this region is fucking fierce right now.
Yeah,
it is very hard.
I don't think they will. Team Spirit, they part ways with Toronto Tokyo and replace him. Yep. He left on his own, to my understanding.
Yep.
And replaced by Laurel. Maybe,
yeah. I actually don't know that.
I heard that myself, so I'll just throw that out there. So we'll see if that changed anything. I know Toronto Tokyo, well, we'll get to that in a bit, I think.
Yep.
You wanted to play with somebody.
Laurel is a very improved player for me. I think he got a lot better in the last year, and he had a standout performance, in my opinion, on BetBoom. I think he really showed promise. So for Spirit, they need a replacement, obviously, for Toronto Tokyo. I think in the CIS or Eastern Europe mid-pool, this is one of the absolute best options you had. So I think Spirit should be pretty happy with this. I think this is a good fit. And his playstyle also mimics that of Toronto Tokyo quite a bit. I would say Laurel is a pretty aggressive player, but he's also very creative. I think he plays a lot of different stuff. We've seen him play like sniper mid when other teams weren't really running it. He's not afraid of picking off-brand stuff and giving you that edge. So I think that's a good pickup for Spirit. Hard to say they'll be better, but I don't think this is like as much of a downgrade as you could argue in other teams. So pretty good.
Okay. Nouns, who are in the wild card race, their roster is Eve, Gunner, Moo, Leslau, Husky. So Leslau is new. He comes from Quincy Crew. And then Eve, who has been in NA forever, it feels like.
He played for Wildcard Gaming, right?
Maybe.
I think
been
so.
On a lot of teams, so it's hard to
He played for Wildcard. So Nouns lose their carry, which was
Costa Bile, and they
Costa
lose Z-Freak.
And they lose Z-Freak, yeah.
My boy,
we'll get to
Z-Freak. Z-Freak
a bit later.
Entity. Actually, I didn't look at their roster. They lost Pure.
Yep.
So the reason I brought up Toronto Tokyo leaving
is because
who
did they get?
Toronto Tokyo wanted to play with Entity. Or not Entity. He wanted to play with Pure. So they both left their respective teams. Pure is replaced by Watson.
Watson, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. Super high-rated Eastern European carry player. He's been ranked 1 recently. Very, very improved and stable carry. And I think he fits the bill for how Entity want to play. So good fit for them.
BetBoom puts together this lineup. Pure, GPK, Nightfall, Save, Toronto, Tokyo as a 5.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Yeah, talk about a changeup, huh? I'm happy to see Save back. I feel like he's one of the best players in the world that was just benched for half a year, I think, by VP. He hasn't really played much. Now he finally gets to show his plays again. This guy's super good. This is, what would you call this? This is kind of the secret, you know, the 2016 secret or whatever, the superstar roster with like all these amazing players. This is like the secret of Eastern Europe. That secret. Like they have absolute monsters on every position, except Toronto Tokyo is a question mark, but he has 1 TI, right? But yeah, as a five, we don't really know. But the other players in these roles are incredibly
good. Going from two to five is quite a departure.
It is definitely a big change. And the concern is that some of these players on the international, I guess primarily GPK, I think, hasn't really had that big result. Like when he goes deep in tournaments, it's been, he's had some of his weaker performances when it mattered the most, I would say. But there's a lot of experience and a lot of power in this team. I think this team is one of those that is either going to be the absolute best in the region or they're going to make changes in 3 months. Mm. That's kind of how I look at this. They will not be satisfied with being second best. I think that's really just, yeah. This is like a super team. And when super teams don't win everything, they aren't happy. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's going to be a thing to look out for sure.
Yeah.
Bait making some news.
Yep.
They are going to be playing the NADPC. Their full roster is Stonebank, Dendi, Funnik, Moose, and Lodine. So Stonebank, we cast a lot of in the NADPC. He was actually really good. I thought he was a stand-in, actually, if I'm not mistaken. And every time he stood in as a position one, he destroyed everybody. The more interesting thing than anything is the fact that Dendi's playing in NA now. Now, the question is, does he, like, I'm sure they'll have boot camps or something, but I'm guessing he's not relocating to NA permanently.
Yeah, that's a good question, right? So this team has four Ukrainians, which means by usual rules, they can't play in NA if they play from home. So I don't know exactly what the rules are right now, but I believe at least for the duration of the season, you have to have 3 out of 5 players physically in the region. Mm. So I don't know who is going to be there, if it's all five, if it's a subset of them. Obviously, Moose is the closest one. Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting move for Bait. Their ventures in Eastern Europe did not go well. Arguably, this is going to be an easier region with a higher chance of making it to bigger events. My concern, which is like the opposite of what we talked about with someone like Quinn, is this team going to a region where they will not grow very much as players? I guess for Dendi and Funnik, that's not as much of a concern. You know, these like super veteran players that are, you know, most likely past their prime. That doesn't mean you can't get it back. It has happened. You know, people wrote off Seb and said he's never getting as good as he was, and then he won 2 TIs. So I'm never going to discredit and say people can't do it. But based on what we've seen compared to their absolute peaks, where Dendi and Funnik, you know, were trashing people, getting super high placement, 3 TIs back to back. It's been a long time since these guys have been on a podium or even close to it. So I'm concerned that if this really gets rolling, and this is a well-oiled machine, if they're shooting themselves in the foot by not playing in Eastern Europe, because they would get better practice and more experience. So, but we'll see. It's a cool, I don't know if cool is the right word. It's an interesting move. And obviously it's hard not to cheer for Dendi to be successful, right? So let's see how it works out.
All right, this one... The old EG roster, aka the team with Fly and whatnot.
Oh yeah, this.
They have announced that they have partnered. Their org is Shopify, which is a huge brand. That's very cool to see. And they will be sticking together mostly in part. Their announcement has a picture. Well, first of all, Saberlight joins them. And he is a monster, so I think he's going to fit in really well. But their picture, instead of Fly, it shows Always Wanna Fly.
Which they fixed that quickly, but that was really funny.
I saved it, so.
I'm assuming what happened was that whoever did the graphics for this, right? They were told the name of the players. They're like, make a graphic with these players. And then they just probably just Googled Fly Dota. And this guy's literally nickname, it would be Fly Dota, right? Always Wanna Fly, so... They actually announced the roster with Always Wanna Fly. They fixed it within, I don't know, 15 minutes or whatever. But that was a pretty funny blunder, not gonna lie. But yeah, it's the same rosters we're used to from EG with the offlaner swapped out. Obviously with Nightfall going back to the superstar Eastern European team. They get Saberlight. I think he's going to be a better fit for the team. I'll be honest, I think this team will be better. Not because I think Saberlight is a better player than Nightfall. I think it's a tough ask to find a better player. But I think in terms of team atmosphere, in terms of mentality, in terms of personalities, this is a better fit for this team based on how I know these players.
Yep, agreed.
So I think EG will be better And I think they will be the team to beat in NA, honestly.
Like, they're not as called usual, EG. They're called...
Right. Shopify Rebellion.
Rebellion.
It'll take some time to get used to. We'll probably call them EG for a while, but yeah, this will be the team to beat together with new TSM, which could be a surprise, could be the better team. Now, with Quincy Crew disbanding, that is not really a concern of NA's anymore. So I think, realistically speaking, TSM and this team should feel very safe, almost. If NA has two slots, these two teams should get them 80 to 90% of the time.
Wait, sorry, which teams? EG and, or whatever the hell their name is.
Shopify Rebellion and TSM. With
you think so? You think
I mean, Nouns could also take down TSM, but
TSM's
I think
lineup is totally different. I don't know if they're going to be as good.
I think they're going to be really good, but we'll see. I mean, it's a lot of speculation. You're right, because there's so many changes. But I have personally more faith in TSM's lineup than Nouns is right now. And I think this Shopify Rebellion team will be number one in the region. I just think they're going to cement themselves as the best team in NA this season with this roster. I'm pretty confident.
Okay.
But we'll see.
One thing that I forgot to put on here is OG's roster. Obviously, yeah. With ATF leaving, they replace him with DM, who was on, was it VP?
I love that guy. Wait. He is so good.
What did they change their name to again, VP? Halfway through.
What's that?
What was VP's name last season?
BetBoom?
No.
Oh, you Outsiders.
Outsiders, yeah.
Right.
DM, so you think this is a good fit for them?
Yeah, I think this guy is super good. I think he's very hungry, and I think this is a team that he can really thrive in. Every interaction, every experience I've had with this guy in pubs and talking to him and seeing how he, you know, how he does winner interviews when he played with Outsiders and everything, I think he's just a really, really good match. He's on my short list of players I would love to play with. So I think OG have got a big score in him. Yeah, I'm very hopeful for them. And I think something that's really powerful for OG in getting this player compared to Amar is that I think they have a more flexible and a more creative offlaner. Some of the criticism of Margo was that he was very stubborn and that there were meta changes and he just didn't adapt, right? He didn't play Beastmaster, he didn't play Brood, like these offlane micro-based summon heroes Visage. DM can play everything. In that sense, he's kind of... You know, when you think about offlaners that can play every hero, you think about someone like Ice, right? Or Zai. He's kind of like them, but from Eastern Europe. Okay. His English is very good, so communication will not be an issue. Probably the... I want to say the Eastern European player with the best English that I've heard in the pro scene, together with Dendi, probably. So, yeah.
Resolution. This guy's good.
And Resso, yes. Resso as well. And also probably a good comparison player to player, to be fair, because Resso also plays a lot of different stuff, right? But yeah,
well, because he's played like three roles now in his career. Yeah. Four, actually.
I think looking through this entire history of what we've looked at with the teams, the biggest winners of this season with the roster shuffle, in my opinion, are OG and Liquid, getting Nisha and DM. I think those are the two biggest winners. Maybe Alliance. Alliance as an org, probably, right? Because their season was tragic, so... Relative to what they had, this is probably a mega upgrade because it went so poorly. But like this alliance relative to Goon Squad is hard to say whether Chien is going to outperform someone like Limp. And but yeah, I think OG should be very happy, at least.
Speaking of OG, we have Old G announcing their roster. It's No Tail, MSS, Topson, No One, and Seb. So,
yeah.
I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but they did like a semi 10-minute like video announcement about this and that they weren't going to take this super seriously, which I can't imagine any of these players actually being okay with not taking it
seriously. Isn't
that what
they always say? Yeah, man, it's for the love of the game. It's fun. We just love it. Oh, it turns out we're really fucking good. Let's make some money. You know, like, come on, man. You're not fooling anyone.
Here's my question, like, though, Cinderin. Are they allowed to do this?
Yes, they are, but their two teams cannot play in Valve events together. As far as I'm aware with the rules, you can have two teams owned by the same org or with shared ownership in everything aside from majors and TI.
So DPC is fine.
I think so. I could be wrong, so take it with a grain of salt. I know for a fact at TI, it's an absolute no-go So let's say this team and the OG team both make TI. They would have to sell off their shares, for example, in order to compete or whatever they would do. In majors, I think it's the same, but maybe that has either changed or I'm misinformed or remember it incorrectly. I think in the DPC, it's fair game.
So again, just to reiterate, the reason we're asking these questions is because No-Tail...
It's a real possibility.
I don't know about Thompson, but No-Tail and Seb almost, I mean, I shouldn't say almost, 100% they have big stakes in OG.
Yeah.
Thompson, I would imagine, has some, but probably came on a little later, obviously. So this was the whole EG and Alliance thing back in the day when EG owned both teams, right? Or Richard. Alex Garfield owned both teams. So what the hell do you do? Let's just go out on a limb here and say both teams qualify for TI, which doesn't sound that crazy based on the rosters alone.
It's pretty unlikely, but let's say they do. Yeah.
It's unlikely, yeah. Okay.
Because EU is as fucking stacked as it is, right?
So if they both qualify for TI, there is no fucking way No-Tail and Seb sell off their shares for OG. There's no way. So if you're the other players on this team, it's like, well, fuck, what are we playing for? That's what I'm not understanding.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a rule change that we don't know about?
Maybe they sell off their shares during TI and then they buy them back.
Wow, that's the loophole. I guess, yeah, if that works, it works.
I mean, I honestly, I don't know. I want to say this because, like you said, it sounds like the vibe is we're doing this for the love of the game, we're doing it for fun, etc. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's not... I think MSS and No One are too good to sign up for that if they don't think there's the perspective of actually making big events.
Mm.
Like, unless they literally got no offers, but I just don't see a world where MSS and No One got nothing appealing. These two players are really fucking good. MSS gets out of NA, just like Quinn did, gets some more international experience with this team. But I don't know, like, maybe it is just, you know, Seb and No-Tail are like, hey, let's play again. Thompson, hey, you want to do it? And Thompson's like, sure, I didn't get on Liquid. They got Nisha. So I have nothing else. Let's do a season with this.
He told me to kill myself a long time ago.
Exactly. Let's just let's do this to profile ourselves and just to get in shape for closer to TI. And then it can lead to better opportunities for all of us. Maybe that's the angle, that it's like a profiling team. And then if everything goes great, then it's obviously awesome. But if it doesn't, then they all get practice, they get experience, and they get to show what they're capable of still for future prospects instead of just fading into, you know, a full-on break or obscurity or whatever. But, like, I'm just looking at these players. Like, you can't tell me this team is not going to try to win. Like, that they're just playing for fun. I would be way more sold on that idea if they had someone like Jerax instead of MSS and someone else than No One, where it's like, it's the good old OG boys. They've done everything. One last ride kind of thing. Let's have some fun.
One last ride.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like MSS and No One just have way too much to prove and way too many stakes for this to just be a stake for fun. But we'll see. I mean, obviously, people are super hyped for this team. They're going to play open qualifiers to get into the DPC because they don't even have a slot. So that's the first challenge. And while that might sound easy, all it takes is one slip-up bad game and you're fucked. So they need to play well from the start. I think someone like No-Tail has been quite far away from Dota for a while, so he's going to need some time to get back into it. We might have the, you know, the Jerax in EG situation where it's a couple of months of warm-up to really get back into it. But yeah, the potential is definitely there, right? And this is going to be a team that people want to watch. So there's going to be a lot of ice on their games.
Another big news here. Arkosh Gaming! their roster...
Okay, they might actually be the biggest winners of the...
Arkosh. They
shuffle.
Have Koikva, Excalibur, Monkeys, Z-Freak, and Febby. All known names. They have changed their logo, their theme. Instead of demons, it's now angels. Their announcements were great. Great videos by Slacks, as always. This team... So, on paper, the team's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, in NA, this would do pretty well. The problem is, I doubt they will be able to practice a lot because most of them are mostly full-time streamers. I know Excalibur and Koikva, they're full-time streamers. Monkey streams a lot. Febby streams a good amount. I don't know if Z-Freak streams, but if he does,
not
he
much,
should.
I think. So yeah, I mean, probably the same logic for Arkosh as previous seasons, right? It's more of a content than result driven org. In terms of like just raw content, there should be a massive upgrades in terms of eyeballs, except losing, or no, not losing, right? So they just gain Koik and Excalibur, who are two big streamers in Europe in particular. And the ceiling of this team's roster, I would say, is quite a bit higher than the previous one. Now, what they don't have is a DPC slot. They need to play open qualifiers for DPC because Arkosh last season didn't show up for some of their games and got DQ'd or something like that.
Yeah, that's
so,
pretty,
I mean, it's
pretty bad.
It's kind of easy to raise the bar here when you keep that in mind. Now, the thing for me is, okay, so with a team like this, let's say you're a content-driven org, you know, you're playing fun, and then it turns out, hey, we're actually pretty good in NA. Like, this is the kind of team that I think could get first in Div 2 with relative ease. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
and in Div 1, they could make some waves, probably not get top 2, but maybe get top 4. How does that affect the player's mentality when you're in that range? Is it like, guys, we're actually kind of close to getting to majors. Should we start really scrimming and take this more seriously? Or is it like, okay, we know what we signed up for. We're in the middle of the pack. That's fine. I'm still an ambitious player, though. So if I get an offer in EU, I'm probably out of here if I'm Koikva, right? You know, like, it's a...
Well,
I think from Arkosh Org's perspective, it's not a problem because this is just really good content. They're going to get a lot of viewers. But from the players, I'm just wondering, like, when you get to that range where... Like, how your mentality handles that
this
state,
is like
right?
The team bald of NA now, kind of.
Yes, but they're playing in a way less competitive region, so the actual chance of getting results is way better.
Exactly.
Like, I agree, bald was the same, but bald was playing in a region where getting top 4 is really hard. In this region, getting top 4 with this kind of a roster is very plausible, if not even... I don't know, I would say this might be the 4th best team in NA. On paper, when I look at this roster. Because who else is there? There's TSM. Then there's the Shopify Rebellion.
Nouns.
And there is Nouns. Who else?
Bait, question mark.
Wildcard? Still, maybe?
Bait?
Wildcard lost their carry, right?
You don't have faith in Bait?
I think Bait on paper is... I don't know, man. I don't know if that's a better team than this one.
They'll practice, though. That's the difference.
That's true. I mean, so did Alliance, and they got smacked by Bald, right? So... I don't know what Wildcard are doing. I thought Sammy didn't have a team now, and we saw Eve joining Nouns, so I don't know if Wildcard even exists anymore. I don't know if they're registered.
Not. Yeah, I don't know.
So this literally could be the 4th best team in NA, Arkosh.
Let's see, Wildcard.
What a season, though. What a season that was.
Wildcard is Flea, Babatich, Samson, Sunlight, and Ark.
I think this team is better.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a lot of faith in Koikva.
The last team, and we saved the most important. Hold on one second. Let me just bring up the full roster here. Team is named Fart Studios. This is the Jenkins team. It is Jenkins, Newsham, BSJ, Sonic, and iAnnihilate. And if you guys go onto the website that shows the registration, BSJ was bamboozled, unbeknownst to him. So you know how you, like, somebody on the roster creates the org and then they invite the players, right? So Jenkins did that. BSJ's name is Fart SJ, and he accepted it without seeing it. His official name... is
absolute state of NA Dota, ladies and gentlemen. That is just, that's the fucking most NA thing.
Oh, it's so good. Brian C, aka Fart SG, SJ. I keep saying G, Fart SJ. Oh, God, that's good.
Dude,
so,
that team could be Div 1 NA. Actually,
they should. They literally
could have Team
be.
Fart in Division 1. I imagine you're a sponsor and you're like, should I get into American Dota? And then there's a team in the premier division of the region is called fucking Fart.
Fart Studios. It sounds professional.
I mean, I think it's fucking hilarious, but I don't know if it's good for... Not because I think fart jokes are really funny. That's a Jenkins and you kind of thing, but...
In person, you laugh a lot, Cinder, and don't try to play it off.
Them just shooting the shit at the whole state of anecdota is something I can appreciate. I think that is really funny, but there are a lot of names they could have chosen. But just this whole... This is like really... That's my kind of sarcasm right there, you know? I wish them all the best. They're probably going to end up in Div 1.
I think so too, actually. Okay, I think we're going quite over time here. So what I want to do is talk about the Ability Arena tournament, streamer tournament that we had, the future tournament, and then the rest of the stuff, including all the new stuff in Ability Arena, I'll talk about next week, which if we're doing a podcast at the regular date, then...
I think we will.
Then we should be good. Okay, so we had the streamer tournament for Ability Arena Season 3. It involved Mr. Cinderman. In fact, let me bring up the whole list. So I don't forget anybody here. We had Cinderin, Monkeys, T-Governor, Capitalist, Effie, Dendy, Waga, and Grubby. It was a lot of fun, and somehow Cinderin wins via tiebreaker somehow.
Dude, that last game was a nail biter, actually.
We need to change the tiebreaker rules because...
I was just going to say you need to change the tiebreaker rules. And there's a very easy fix. It's just who won most games. Why is that not the best tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker...
Most number ones.
For the normal tournament, the tiebreaker is who placed better in the last game.
Why isn't it just who won most games in general? Isn't that a good tiebreaker? And then if they're tied there, then it's who got most second places.
Well, you would have been tied again with Monkeys in that case because you both got first twice.
Yeah, but who got most second places then?
Oh my God, you see?
That's what I mean. Like, you could just tie it down that way, right? You just go top to bottom until somebody did better.
Right, well,
and the chance that two players have the exact same placements in five games is almost impossible. I mean, it could happen, but...
If you want to go that rule, then you would have gotten second place, actually. You sure you want that to happen?
Sure. I mean, it's not retroactive. I'm going to implement it for the future.
All right,
it's a great rule this time.
So
to give a little bit of perspective or a little bit of context here, if you guys are familiar with the game, the reason it was funny was that in the last game, I had an extremely snowball-y game. I played Gambler, and I was just winning every round while gambling, so I got super far ahead. And Monkeys knew that he had lost, so he knew the tiebreaker condition was having most Gabens in the last game. So it became this arms race where he started selling his abilities to try to get Gabens because he knew he would lose it anyway. And he was getting second, which is what he needed. So I needed to keep up and make sure I have one more Gaben than him. And I did in the end. So it was actually pretty... I got a little bit nervous there in the end that I was actually going to lose with a score of 20-1 or whatever it was. It was pretty funny. But
yeah, very sad for you.
Yeah. But I did it. So we're good.
Yeah, so Season 3 has a shit ton of new stuff, which I won't talk about now. I'll talk about it in the next episode. But the regular tournament, the community tournament, has been announced. If you go to abilityarena.com/tournaments, you can sign up now. It'll be on December 17th and 18th. It'll be for $1,000 and a bunch of in-game stuff as per norm. So it'll have up to 256 people. Let's see how many people are signed up right now. Why doesn't it say
a lot of people
are signed up, but you guys still have room, of course, to get in. What the hell's wrong with this thing? Participants, there we go. There's 118 people signed up, so it's about halfway there, so you still have time. And I believe there is a wait list as well, so if it fills up, you still can probably get in because a bunch of people still don't show up day of for some reason. They just sign up and then forget about it. Just like Cinderin probably would, since...
I've shown up.
If there wasn't me reminding you that there's a tournament, you wouldn't show up half the time, probably.
I didn't forget.
Okay, well. Yeah, look forward to that. And next episode, like I said, we'll talk about all the new stuff in the season because there is a shit ton that we announced. But yeah, that is the end of this episode. There's also some cool game announcements that we'll get to. If you guys haven't heard, don't read the news. It's going to be brand new for the next episode, like I said. So look forward to that. Okay. So sorry for the delays. Sorry for Cinderin's voice. Really appreciate everybody supporting us. And until next time, we'll see you in a few days, I guess, or whenever the hell the next episode is. Peace.
We say things that subscribe. Anything, but thanks for listening. Yeah.